You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hey, this is episode 292 of the IT in the D Show. Guests this week include Derek and Matt. They are from Right Brain Networks. They're going to talk about how environments are cattle. I don't know if that's like a beef thing or if how they manage their cloud stuff, but I think we're going to find out from Derek.
We'll figure it out.
He's the smart guy. Also, Hillary H-Bomb is in the house. If you are a longtime listener, she hasn't been here since episode 5.
And we had
five.
At least one guy who showed up at an event
that
who's been listening
one.
Since episode 1.
So he'll remember her.
We'll know who H-Bomb is.
She had about a 3-minute segment. Why, you ask? She dropped more F-bombs than anyone in the entire show combined in 92 episodes.
Like, no, but for real.
And Dave, you may fire when
I
ready.
I learned how to edit because of that episode.
You're welcome.
And you may fire when ready.
Thank you.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
You're listening to the IT in the D Show.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything with that! No!
I used to hang out at the Magumbo Bar. It was a rough place, the seediest dive on the wharf, populated with every reject and cutthroat from Bombay to Calcutta. It's worse than Detroit.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why is this not marketing?
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Dig, you IT geeks. This is Dre DeMatteo from Sons of Anarchy. You are listening to IT in the D.
What happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bunghole?
Exactly.
Come on. What the hell with it? I'm calling a break. We'll come back to this.
So you have no boots.
No.
You have no gloves.
No.
You have no hat.
No.
You have no scarf.
No.
You have no scraper.
No.
How long have you lived in Michigan?
All my life.
You, sir, are an idiot.
I don't care.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka, Sweep the Leg, listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the beak off.
Hi, this is Martin Cove, John Kreese from the Karate Kid movie, and you're listening to IT and the D.
Yes, that's it!
Are we at a break yet?
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT in the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds!
Nerds!
Nerds.
Nerds!
What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Papa Pump. The IT in the D show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
You're in your underwear, I'm in my underwear. Here, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey, I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear, that's a fact.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
It's just too big.
How big?
It's way too big.
I can get it all the way in.
Really? Should we talk about this? Tag team. Should I keep going or should I stop?
We just lost our clean tag on iTunes.
I'm totally into Dave, but not so much Bob.
This is Robert Hayes, the Tenth Striker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
Like, I love this meat stick.
I love my Monday meat stick.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D show. Tough guy. Oh!
You promised me segment 5.
Tough. What would you little maniac like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do. The question is what aren't we going to do.
Ludicrous speed. Sir, had you better buckle up? Now buckle this. Ludicrous speed! Go!
Welcome. Thanks for hanging out with us. This is episode 292 of the one and only IT in the D Show. We're broadcasting live here in Podcast Detroit in Studio One in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. It's Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek. Nuri the FNG is on location. But Randy, I do the Twitters, is pouring shots at Kraken right now. Find us online, itinthed.com, and do us a favor. We haven't gotten a review in a while. Give us a review on the iTunes or on the socials, and give us a like anywhere. Fine podcasts are sold.
I feel like we have to push the, for the love of God, give us a one-star review. Like, that makes us happy.
I think we jumped 37 spots on iTunes in Belarus.
We did.
Which is in Bulgaria, which is kind of cool. Even though we are sitting steady at, the cool thing, we're sitting 32 on the Stitcher ranks.
If you're in Bulgaria, drink a Rakia for me right now.
Cheers. Shout out to everybody in Bulgaria. But hey, Randy is also doing the Twitters. And then, give us a like anywhere fine podcasts are sold.
So I got it. I figured it out. It's the IoT Tech Conference is a thing. It's happening.
It's Internet of Things for those keeping score at home.
Sure. It's a thing. But if you want to go, so here's the deal. Discount code IT in the D will give you a 36%. I don't know how they landed on 36%.
It's not 37. It's not 35.
It's not 37, no. Not 35, but 36% discount on tickets. So go and check them out. They're trying to do the Internet of Things. Like, they're trying to do a good job.
They got about, they got like 50 speakers to this thing. It's a legit thing. If you're anywhere in industrial or in manufacturing floors, IoT is legit and it's a thing. And everybody's trying to figure out how to do it. It's kind of like, what is the cloud 10 years ago? It's, the speaker lineup's insane.
So at this point, it's a $125 ticket. Use the code, $80 ticket. Life's good.
Life is good.
Let's not throw shade on that. Manufacturing's been doing IoT since forever.
But there's still, with sensors and big data, it's becoming, with analytics now, it's right. Becoming, they've been doing it, but I mean, it's really now, it's you're able to capture the data, a little bit easier.
All I'm saying is respect those people that have been doing it for a long time.
I have. Also mark your calendars a week from Thursday, which is the April 18th. IT in the D, we're going to have a happy hour over at the Detroit Shipping Company up in the Nino Brown Bridge Room. No speakers, no cover, no idiot salespeople except for me.
And go figure, we're still not taking kickbacks from the bars that we do events at.
Go figure, right? Jesus Christ. Yeah, enough already. Enough already.
No, there was a thing.
Is that blog written yet?
No.
It's in draft mode. I have issues about publishing it.
So one of the...
Bob's trying to stifle me.
One of the weirdest stories this week, apparently there was a woman from China, and she tried to get into Mar-a-Lago. And if you don't know what that is, it's a private club.
It's Trump's little place.
It's Trump's hangout where he probably does the majority of his business. It's Palm Beach.
And by business, you mean crapping?
Yes. Amongst other things. She showed two Chinese passports when she tried to get admitted, said she wants to use the pool, right? Secret Service basically
just thought she was one of the members' daughters.
Yeah, that's
and let
she,
her in.
Well, she yeah. was she said she didn't give a definitive
they
answer.
They asked her.
Right.
Hey, are you one of the members' daughters?
She's like, I'm all maybe. Right. Yeah. And then she dropped she was there to attend a UN Chinese American Association event and showed like a fake invite, but it was all in Chinese, so nobody really questioned her. Then she said she just came to use a pool, didn't have a swimsuit.
Because it's the equivalent of like tattoos that people have that say soup.
Right. Yeah. And now they basically escorted her off the property and she went crazy, like absolute bananas. So they basically arrested her and frisked her, and she in essence had four cell phones, a hard drive,
all
a laptop,
the malware,
a thumb drive, all infected with malware. She was basically trying to, Trump was off site at the time.
She was technical Typhoid Mary.
Well, every 12-year-old has a computer infected with malware, right?
Yeah, exactly. If you had a regular Huawei phone, but like it is infected with malware. Aren't they all?
You guys
are.
Remember LimeWire? Come on.
We all have LimeWire.
Yeah,
But anyway, yeah, just completely like just letting in randoms. I think we got to bring I'm just going to start speaking German now at presidential gatherings of the Secret Service and show German invites and just try to crash parties.
Bob, how was opening day for you?
Speaking of parties, it's the same as it is every year.
Same as it ever was.
We get up early. We go have breakfast.
Same as it ever was.
We go to the game. It's freezing. We last about 2.5 innings.
Dave gets cranky.
You get every sporting event. You're like, I want to go. Then you hate everything.
Not every sport. No. Hockey, I'm good.
Hockey, you're fine. We haven't gone to a hockey game in years.
No one's going to hockey games in Detroit right now.
But no one is.
Better change the seat color so people don't notice.
They have. Right. They already have.
I know. That was the joke.
Good one. Whoa. Good one, Randy. He's here all week, we hope.
Thank you. Try the veal.
But no, 2.5 innings in, we're like, all right, we're done. We tried to go to the beer hall. It's 100 people in.
It was four.
It was freezing.
We made it 4 innings.
Oh, 2.5 before Tulio sat next to me and said, all right, let's get out of here. 4 innings before we decided to leave the park.
Because a round of drinks was $100 goddamn. Jesus. For six of us.
It's not. Yeah. It's gotten to the point where it's ridiculous. Especially opening. The thing that sucked the most is Saturday. It was 60. So I'm like, God bless it. Like, here we go on an opening day. It's like this every year.
And it's 32. And it's raining, and it's windy as shit.
And it's the biggest party in, like, that is, like, for Detroiters, I don't think people understand. There's only, like, 3 cities in the U.S. that do it like Detroit does on opening day. It's like a rite of passage, spring, you know, new. It's not even about baseball anymore. It's just about kind of that rite of passage.
Can we just be honest? It's not about spring, because 32 degrees again, let's be clear.
Right. But, I mean, St. Louis and Chicago are about the only 2 cities that do it up like Detroit does. I think it's any excuse to have a drink and get drunk in the streets.
I started working downtown, and my boss told me you must leave before the game ends. You must leave. So I didn't get caught in game traffic.
Don't come back here.
We ended up going
you're like, that's not where we're at.
We ended up going to the Detroit Shipping Company.
Back
finishing
to DSC.
The night. Yeah.
We started at DSC. We ended at DSC.
So the dumbest thing happened to me this week, I got to share. We do these periodical sales trainings. Where an subject matter expert will come in and like, hey, this is the new, DDoS mitigation product we have. Hey, this is the new cloud whatever. So this guy comes in, sits in front of us and said, we're the new cloud fax service you guys are going to use. And I kind of stopped and I said, what year is this?
It's 1997. Cool.
Then this guy starts dropping. There are companies out there that are still sending hundreds of thousands of faxes per month. And I was completely mind blown, and I don't get it. I said, what, you know, and basically they were talking about healthcare is doing it because it's HIPAA compliant. And I go, how can sending a document that you don't know who's picking it up HIPAA compliant? And they tried to explain to me that there's receipts. I go, yeah, from who? Because if you're faxing paper, but apparently like email. So I'm like, why don't they just document or send the document over email because they like faxing.
Bad idea too.
And I don't. Well, what are you going to do? So what? I never understood faxing. Apparently,
GPG keys, bud.
Is that what it is?
That would help.
That would help. No, I'm shocked. Like I'm literally shocked. I haven't sent a fax. Probably the last time I sent a fax is when there was a dial up going on. The fact that this thing still exists, there's companies that have regional salespeople.
E-fax is still a thing.
Yeah. That was consumer. This was the enterprise version. I'm like, what's the difference? You're faxing.
I used to work with car dealers for them to get around PCI. They would only do fax machines so they didn't have to have the PCI compliance.
Do they at least offer the service of screening out all the $97 cruise to the Bahamas faxes?
No, they don't know it's spam. How do they know that's spam? Maybe you like $97 cruises. I mean, there's no way to curtail that.
Nobody uses $97 cruises.
Come on.
Well, especially these days.
Rowdy is the rowdy.
But the saddest story, you know, and we talked about this probably the last 4 weeks. Friend of mine, they got ransomware. Ended up going 2 days back. This is in Battle Creek, Michigan. It's a Brookside ENT and Hearing Center. Basically, just shut down their entire practice. So they got hacked. You know, they said.
Well, they got ransomware.
Ransomware. Basically, they demanded they pay $6,500 to buy back access to your medical files. The doctors gave them the middle finger.
Like, okay, where are you from a profit margin perspective that you're like $6,500? No, I'd rather close.
Well, no, they might have. They might have did the whole thing. We don't negotiate with terrorists.
I understand it.
I'm okay with that too. But regardless, they gave them the middle finger, and so the ransomware terrorists basically deleted all their customer records and systems files, patient information, and appointment schedules, and they decided just to go out of business.
Yeah, the two doctors are retiring and referring their patients to other doctors.
Yeah.
So this plays into a little bit what I've got to talk about today. It's like, what is an hour of operating cost, like, for your prod or non-prod environments worth? It's going to be good.
I don't think a couple 70-year-old hearing doctors are thinking about that.
Well, they need to start thinking about that, all right?
I just want to point out, we are 17 minutes in. Hillary has not yet interjected with an F-bomb.
Ah, yay. Yay.
I promised Bob if he let me back on, I wouldn't swear.
You were polite about it, so I said, all right, fine. We wanted you back a long time ago, but we were afraid. We were so afraid. I'm just kidding. We're happy to have you here. The one story – we talked about this at work today.
I talked about you with other people.
We talked about this one at work today, and I wanted to get other people's feedback. But like Brussels apparently came out publicly and
Sprouts.
They're the first, yes, Brussels, comma Air Sprout Fire. City, first city to basically halt 5G
yes.
due to health effects. So basically, they came out and quoted, "I can't welcome such technology if the radiation standards are not respected, 5G or not. We're not guinea pigs who health I can sell for a profit. We cannot leave anything to doubt."
Let's just talk about our friend for a moment.
Joe Stein?
Terry Bean.
Oh, oh boy.
Oh.
Who?
He's not a man from Brussels, is he?
No, he's not a man from Brussels.
He's not 6'4".
He's not 6 foot tall and full of muscles. Yeah. Yeah. No. So Terry was like, hey, I got home tonight and my phone says I've got a 5G connection.
Yep.
Randy was like, nope.
No.
Because we've talked about this.
AT&T just put a sticker over their 4G LTE
right,
and
right.
I was calling it 5GE.
Well, the 5G pilot apparently is not compatible with Belgian radiation safety standards. And now I'm like,
which are apparently 95 milliwatts per meter squared.
Right. I don't know what that is either.
So I hold my phone up to a steak. It'll cook. Like what?
No, but then there's like,
it'll
does it,
right.
it? I'm okay with
rare
it.
Rare as shit.
But wait, windmills cause cancer, right?
Ah, she took my job. Oh, I was waiting for the perfect moment. It's like they don't have windmills.
Never forget Don Quixote.
But then there's like apparently independent evidence that says 5G poses a major threat to all biological life because it redoes the cellular structure of. I'm like, what in that? I'm reading this thing.
I hear that. I'm thinking, I get superpowers.
I want superpowers.
Again, cancer is just a mutation.
Yeah.
A mutation makes you an X-Men.
And then they're talking about it at a U.S. Senate hearing that they've not done any safety studies and they don't plan to. They're just rolling this shit out. Like, what? There's scientists, like, screaming, don't release it. Don't release it. And one scientist basically came out and said it's the stupidest idea in the history of the world, which I might argue with, but he's, like, basically foot stomping and screaming this. Like,
I feel like I should do more research now.
I don't, you know, I just want my faster internet.
Bring me better connectivity. So
what's
I don't
the megahertz
care.
On it?
it's a gigawatt.
Gigahertz.
1.21.
What?
Is it?
1.21.
5G was using millimeter waves, which is non-ionizing radiation.
None.
Wow.
Yeah.
So why are there?
How many inches is that?
Millimeters. Millimeters.
2,500.
And the saddest hacker of the week goes to our friend in Galveston County, and then he hacked someone else's Magic the Gathering gaming account and stole $3,000 in event tickets over the course of a year.
Very good.
Event tickets are a dollar a piece, are used as game currency when they're bought and sold on eBay. And his name is Mark Anthony Kaki.
Because he needs to know.
K-A-A.
He needs to know.
He transferred the event tickets to his account
baby
before selling.
Tell me, baby girl.
And he sold them.
Because he needs to know.
The problem is it's a state jail. It's a felony charge because he stole more than $2,500.
In Texas?
In breach of computer security. Yeah, both state jail felony charges. $15,000 bond.
Nobody wants a felony in Texas.
No.
Let's be clear.
I just want to see that judge going,
Nobody wants a felony anywhere.
This gentleman's
but Vermont. In Texas,
Vermont,
it's a
you're
whole
totally
other
cool.
Game.
Right.
Smell what you're stepping in, but
no, I just want to see that court case. Is that on like Judge Wapner? Like you stole Magic the Gathering dollars? Like what is a Magic the Gathering?
I hacked into their took their cards.
Your Honor, I stole an entry ticket to Magic the Gathering tournament.
I stole 4 level 34 wizards.
Or that judge in New Jersey that gives like the funny, like, oh, he got caught speeding, and he does this whole like funny, you know,
yep,
jump around.
Yep.
So this is a
cool story, bro.
Never underestimate.
Thanks for playing, Matt.
I know what you're talking about, Matt.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Why do we not have Eileen here?
So never underestimate the power of a broke college student that knows he's going to have an insane
amount
of debt.
Dude, that was the best story ever.
I absolutely love this one. So Cisco ran a study on basically looking across industry verticals and cryptocurrency and crypto mining.
Oh,
and what they
the story I thought you were
what
going
they
to,
what they
okay.
found out basically what kids are doing in college. They figured out power's free, internet's free. I'm going to fill my room full of mining boxes,
CPUs,
CPUs, and I'm going to let it run for 4 years, and I'm going to try to get some of my college money back. But the study that they found out.
I mean, there's that or sugardaddy.com. So, I mean,
right.
You know what?
The study that they found out was college campuses are the second most consumer of crypto mining than energy.
Number one is like the Russian work camp.
No, they said the energy industry was first, which I thought was stupid because, like, yeah, because everybody's using power. So it might be like home or data centers. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and how are you going to pinpoint it to dorm 304 in an 11-story building when
MAC address?
MAC addresses can be spoofed.
Mining doesn't
how
use
I got
that
around
much
the internet
network
college.
Traffic, though. It's
the one I thought you were going to was were the kids that were like basically doing all the fake iPhone replacements. They're like, oh, we got these counterfeit phones that aren't phones, and we send them back to Apple, and then Apple gives us credit and sends us new phones. And then we ship those to our friends in China who broker that for like real money.
Oh, no, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, yeah. Apple's got a pretty liberal return policy.
like Costco?
As long as it's within 14 days. So you give back something that looks like an iPhone, which basically you can order from China for $20. It's almost perfect replica hardware-wise, and it's just got an Android skin running. And so you buy that, put that in the Apple box and send it back.
And send it back and they
give you
a
real
iPhone
that you sell and buy.
That you just send back to China and you get money. And, yeah.
And Yeesh. Use that money to buy 20 more of the fake phones. And
yeah. Because you get $1,000 back.
Right.
And then you buy all the fake phones. The ROI was amazing. And there was 2 college kids that were doing this.
It's better than selling drugs.
$900,000.
Yeah.
God.
That's what I'm saying.
If they had stopped like halfway through, maybe they would have gotten away with it.
Right. They were like,
most
criminals. We noticed like literally it was like 6,000 returns to a single address. We checked it out. That's how we busted them.
But yeah, Cisco had a pretty interesting week finding crap. Like their Talos group and then one of their other groups. Basically, they found hundreds of thousands of just criminals hiding in plain sight, as they call it, on social media. So basically what they reported basically in their labs, 74 groups on Facebook that were basically just selling drugs basically, 385,000 members basically selling spam, phishing, credit card numbers, drugs, pretty much anything that's going on, pretty much Instagram, there's any social media platform. They're just out in the open.
So they use the built-in Facebook reporting feature to report these to Facebook, and Facebook basically ignored them. They had to reach out to Facebook security team directly in order for Facebook to do anything about this.
Facebook's weird these days. Like you gotta, you say like duty, and they'll ban you for put you in Facebook jail. But then you're like you're selling drugs. There was a Cisco the Umbrella platform, whatever. Yeah, I heard about that not too long
ago. The Umbrella Academy, what?
The Umbrella Academy, yes. that's a
corporation.
And here's the stupidest quote. People who abuse social media are like cockroaches. If you aren't diligently working to exterminate every single one, they'll keep coming back. Like,
what a quote.
I know, right? And your name's attached to that forever. Luckily, you have a name like Williams where it doesn't follow you.
Yeah.
So what else is going on? Do you hear birds doubling their prices in Detroit?
Yeah.
Good.
Sad.
Dude, the first sign of spring happened when I was first, like, I went downtown, and I'm like, oh, my God. Every asshole on the planet is out on one of these goddamn scooters trying to get themselves killed again. Forget the first Robin. Forget, like, the first, like, forget Vernal Equinox, any of that shit. Like, it's dipshits on scooters trying to kill themselves.
Here's that's the dumb thing.
Sign of spring.
Hey, Vernal Equinox is a great hangman phrase.
If I'm going to die, it's going to be because I did a 360 off a curb into the traffic.
Okay? Sweet.
I almost died. I almost died on a bird just driving it.
Like, birds seriously, like that almost I've happened seen, like four times Saturday ones. Night.
Yeah, spin. But I haven't seen yeah. bird or lion.
I haven't either. But the dumb thing was, did you know it was 15 cents an hour?
Minute. Hey. 15 cents a minute.
Oh, it's 15 cents a minute?
What?
It was 15 cents yeah. a minute, and now they've doubled
it. It's 30 cents a minute.
31 cents a minute now.
Right, but if I'm sitting
– scooters are so much better. Like, what the hell?
But if I'm shipping out a $1,000 – what are they, about $700, $800? The industrial
they're
ones?
They're $400.
Industrial ones.
No, you buy one on Amazon for less than $400.
Like that exact model?
Yes.
Okay, but then they got to outfit it with their own GPS and all their bullshit, and they had to app –
But you can buy one on Amazon. Fine. I'm just saying.
But like 15 cents a minute, like yeah. you tell me it's where the break even is.
They weren't even recouping the cost of these scooters.
Well, because people keep
throwing them in the river,
the river yeah. and destroying them. Yeah.
Doing 360s off the curb into traffic.
Right. yeah. Or just have like a really large man on one and then hit the stop button and watch him flip over the top, but he doesn't.
Something Neil. Like that, yeah. And the limes are lemons.
And everybody laughs.
Both the Neil. Bird. Okay, you just got to fly around on a bird. And the limes are the lemons, man. You got to waste those, man.
We're totally canceling segment three. what in the world was that? Do it again?
The limes and lemons. You got to boast the bird. You know what I'm saying?
You put the lime in the coconut and you shake it all up. That's all I got.
On that, I got to take a break after that one. Okay. What in the blue hell? you know what? We're going to be back with that guy and Matt from Right Brain Networks. This is the IT in the D show.
Hey, we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip/Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh, yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Hey, welcome back. Segment 2, episode 292. This is the one and only IT in the D show, broadcasting live here in Studio 1 in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob the Sales Guy, Dave the Geek, Randy, I do the Twitters. Find us online, itinthed.com, because we are IT in the D.
And you still, 6 years, literally 6 years later, are not.
Hillary, I apologize for my clumsy friend. We're working on him.
It's okay.
Hey, do us all a favor. Dave and I just recently did a tour over at United Shore. They got the new building over in Pontiac, which is actually an Updike, the old HP building.
They're hiring so many people.
They're hiring an obscene amount. I think they onboarded, I think, like 400 people in Q1, some ridiculous number. But if you're in IT, and of course you are because you're listening to us idiots, they're hiring, I think there's right now, close to 50 openings.
And not even IT. Like, they're hiring people in non-IT positions. Like they want underwriters. They want folks that, like, just do things.
So, I mean, looking at the IT stuff right now, like business analyst, QA, Salesforce architect, trainer, Salesforce developer, network engineer, .NET developer. I mean, it goes security engineer.
Because .NET Scrum developer master. Is non-IT. Absolutely.
Right. No, that's fucking But hey, if you want to go, if you want to check out their job postings, we imported them all into IT and the D because we're doing them a favor. They're hiring so many people. Go to the work tab on itandthed.com or just Google United Shore Careers and see what they got going on. It's a cool place too. 40 hours and they kick you out. They don't work you to death.
And they're so serious about that. Like, if you work more than 40 hours, you have to have a meeting with your manager and HR.
Yeah.
To justify why you're working more than 40 hours.
Right. But so, check them out, itinthed.com, the work tab, or just Google United Shore Careers. Yeah. Good stuff. But hey, we get joined by Derek and Matt. Matt's been here before. Derek, this is a first timer. They're both from Right Brain Networks. Gentlemen, how you doing?
Great.
I'm okay.
You got to sit up on the mic, man. You're like a leaning back. Like
Matt's new nickname is Phonuff.
No, and Derek's new nickname is I had two shots of whiskey. I don't know what's where I am anymore. But no, welcome, gentlemen.
Shoot that. Myself.
You
wanted the rum. Shoot the rum.
But hey, I'll go to Matt
first.
I'm a boof it.
For those that don't know, Right Brain. I mean, I know you guys is the AWS shop, but you know what's Right Brain Networks?
Yeah. So we've actually been in the cloud. In cloud centric for over 10 years.
You've been on other people's computers for 10 years. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we were one of the first AWS partners. When you look at like the history of AWS, we've kind of been there all along the way. We've trademarked, you know, cloud development lifecycle, which is essentially, if you think of like the IT journey or security posture, it's the same idea. Like no matter from the time you have an idea about an app, the time you hand it over to someone like us that will manage that app up in AWS, we've got different practices that help you along that journey. So it could be we could be building out infrastructure for you. We could be doing the development. We'd be possibly doing assessments. Really, we've got multiple
software development. We do greenfield application development. We do all sorts of CI/CD pipelines, and they make it, you know, push your code all the way through to production in a really clean way.
You can throw DevOps in there. This is like a
DevOps,
the marketing buzzword. Hey, dude.
Bingo! I was going to say, where's my bingo card?
We got DevOpsian delights all over the place. It's like a candy shop.
So when you first sat down and I met you and I said, what do you want to talk about, Derek? And you're like, environments are cattle. And I'm like, cool, we'll run with it. Dude, what the hell are you talking about?
Dry aged beef.
Right.
Sliced into
tomahawk chops. Yeah, yeah. Good stuff.
Well, you know, yeah. Or the tenderloin, just tenderly sliced along the grain.
Right.
You know, it's all of the above.
So you guys are a butcher shop / AWS consultancy.
Well, we do vegan stuff as well.
Okay.
The oat milk.
You're not going to answer me, are you, about the cattle line? You're not, are you?
All I'm saying is oat milk's going for $45 a quart on Amazon right now, and it's a real... real hustle. Anyways, so we are looking at...
You two could have almond juice, which is just nut juice. Let's be clear. All
right. That's what I put in cereal. Apparently, I'm weird.
Bob's a huge fan of nut juice.
I support your
same.
Your choice of milk. Okay. All right. So basically, we're trying to move the... We're really good at running production without issues, right? But like, there's this huge issue that I keep seeing with companies time and time again is that they're... wasting engineering time on fixing pre-prod developments or pre-prod environments, right? So the idea is that we need to...
Okay, well, because 9 times out of 10, pre-prod does not match prod. That's the issue.
Well, I can fix that for you, bud.
That I think I'm just trying to be clear. Like, that's... Like, 9 times out of 10, it worked in dev, it worked in pre-prod.
Clear as nut juice, Dave. Clear as nut juice.
Clear as nut juice, yeah.
Hey, soup to nuts, I don't know what that means, but we're going to keep doing it, all right? So
again, I'm super uncomfortable right now.
Are you? Are you really?
Not really.
I'm in my element, actually. This is funny. All right, basically, we want to move integration testing to...
Oh, like, don't make me pull up old text. Don't.
All right, well, you guys are going to be interrupting me. This is how ITMD goes.
Don't taking a shot. This is great.
If I'm going to be interrupted, I'm just going to go ahead and take a shot. It's fine.
FYI, there's also tequila in that squirt can.
Shut your mouth. You're going to get me in trouble with the wife. Anyways, so we want to move.
Randy's all about the dirty squirt.
I have a phrase for this, but I'm not going to say it on the air. Anyways, please, so we're moving. Guys, we're moving.
No, seriously, like, yeah.
Get it out. Dirty squirt. We're moving integration testing to be pre-merge into the main line of development code, right? And that's what's preserving all of our pre-prod environments for, you know, actual QA testing and things like that. Because if we have a QA or a dev environment that's down for any amount of time, you have tens, 20s. Hundreds of engineers
well,
that are
not even
there.
Down, but like not matching. Like, and Hillary, you can vouch for this. Like, if pre-prod doesn't match prod, which happens in so many freaking environments, it's not the same thing. Like, like that's a killer for apps going into prod.
There are so many bugs that I have missed because the data was different, the infrastructure was different, all that stuff was different.
Oh, hey, you've got this hard coded all the way. What?
Data being different is a big problem, okay? Because there are a lot of environments and that have sensitive data, and you have to produce randomized scrub data for those scenarios, and that's understandable. But you're right; you have to be able to produce time and time again realistic test data, and if you can't do that, then you don't have a good test.
And sometimes it's the amount of data because there's mm-hmm. way more customers or whatever in prod than there are in pre-prod because we only need, you know, A through Z. We need like 26.
You mean A is not good test data?
God forbid I wildcard search in prod.
What's a star do here? Boop.
So basically that's what we're about is like, you know, like I said, we've tackled the make prod glorious and don't let it go down. But actually there's a lot of money that gets wasted in engineers not doing anything, waiting for two operations or two developers to figure out what's wrong with the dev environment so that code can keep flowing through the pipeline, right? And if we don't preserve and keep our dev environment sacred, then there's an issue because you have engineers that are sitting there wasting time, wasting money, and their supervisors are like, oh, great, we got 20 people that can't do anything right now. And they see the number on the wall that says 20 times X salaries, like that's a lot of money and that's a lot of engineering time. And that reduces the amount of real features that can go out because if you slow down QA, that reduces the number of features that go out for that cycle. And that actually impacts the projections of your financials that are based on those features going out, right? So that all the way down the line can actually impact your entire business and their projections on what they're going to make and their economics and everything.
And so, the sales guys get mad because the new feature set isn't out there.
Exactly.
Sales guys don't get mad.
Yeah.
Only when their comps messed up. Other than that, everything's fine.
Shenanigans.
Your comps going to be messed up if that feature's not there.
I declare
there,
right? Shenanigans right now.
Exactly.
Yeah. Get the broom.
Sales guys get mad all the time.
They do not.
So the other thing that, you know, the team's been helping a lot of companies with is this whole idea of DevOps. I remember I was at a conference and the cybersecurity thing came up and it said cybersecurity and there was, you know, it's broken into two words or one word.
Right.
We can't even agree how it's spelled. How do we even know what it is? The DevOps thing, me shifting from cybersecurity to DevOps has been, you know, kind of a new thing. And when we're looking at DevOps, when you sit in a round table and you ask, what is DevOps? Everybody's got a different definition of it.
What about DevSecOps?
Like, no, it's the sad reality. Like DevOps is the new – God, like it's – hey – XML is going to solve all the world's problems. Java is going to solve all the world's problems. Like, is DevOps the new buzzword for
getting your stuff in line?
All your things will be good if you just do DevOps.
Soap is the new thing. Scrub the children from the internet.
Dude, soap.
They're just dirty.
So, you know, with the DevOps question, a lot of organizations, especially when you get into the big enterprise, they've got people that are in-house, they've got contractors, they've got third parties. One of the things that we've been helping a lot of companies with is actually getting all those people marching in the right direction with, you know, all the way from the board down. And that's really hard to do internally. It turns out when you've got a bigger organization to get buy-in from the top down internally.
Go figure.
Very hard. But when you hire someone like Rightbrain to come in and consult, and they really take to heart the things that we're doing. It's easier to get.
Oh, a consultant said it. Cool.
Yeah. Exactly.
No. What we're about is business value.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, we look at a company's core business, and then we say, "What makes you guys money, and how can we make you more?" Right. So, with that, it's like features make us money, or the input takes us money, or marketing makes us money. And we're going to figure out how to accelerate what makes you guys money. And that's what we're
trying
to do.
I heard a great line from an engineer, and it kind of goes into what you're saying. Basically, sitting in front of a customer saying, I want to take all your low value high touch stuff and take that over and let you do what you do.
Yeah,
like, that's a gray line. You know, I mean, just because it's true. That's what people like us do, right? Take, you know, you worry about you selling whatever you do as a company. Right, right. Let me do what I do.
Yeah, and through that we can accelerate based on, you know, your productiveness of engineers or just your speed of engineering. We can do performance engineering, things like that, or build actual websites. We have people that come to us and just say, you know what, we have this idea, we have money, and we want to do that, and we can make it happen with the cloud.
Someone else's computer.
Somebody else's computer.
I actually finally
just rent it for a little bit.
I finally sprung and got the shirt.
Frame. God, we've gotten back that.
Yeah, but if you want to blow your mind, start looking in the different ways that you can buy.
Yeah,
buy.
You rent them by the hour.
I know. Oh yeah.
No doubt.
We had a speaker in because we also do the AWS Michigan meetup. So we had someone come in and talk about the different ways that you can consume cloud, and you can buy it on a marketplace, and you can buy Reserve and Spot and all the. Basically, mathematicians are coming in and they're hiring people to be the cloud czar at hundreds of thousands of dollars a year so they can save millions.
1960s computing.
Like, I'm really good at Spot. It's mainframe.
Hey, I want a priority slot. I want – that's where we are.
Spot is like a marketplace. It's pretty much the New York Stock Exchange for computers. It's really good.
Yeah.
I really like it.
Well, the fact that that's all consumed by a credit card these days, like, blows my mind. It's still all by a credit card. It's like, I can't just, like –
marketing, screw IT. Right. Yeah.
They know that that's why it's being done. But, like, you can't, like, I'm going to buy a HP server farm and it's, like, $100,000. I'm just going to throw that on an Amex. Like, this doesn't happen. You know.
No. You know, the Ohio taxes are taking Bitcoin.
Are they really?
Yeah, I heard that on NPR on my way here.
There was a Bitcoin ATM machine at the Buscemi's party store, and I know
there still is. I don't
wasn't
why.
Subway taking Bitcoin for a while?
For like not to diverge. Yeah.
Let's go back to cloud.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
We're gonna go off on a tangent. It's fine.
We don't understand crypto anyway, so that's why we talk about it all the time.
My brother asked me what Bitcoin was, and it took 2 hours to like tell him that we didn't need to talk about it.
Is there still like the impossible challenge if someone can explain how cryptocurrency works in under 30 seconds? Like they get a trophy.
We had guys in here for 2 hours talking about it. I have no idea.
And still don't understand what it was.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the AWS Michigan meetup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More details?
So yeah, AWS Michigan, we do it once a month. We actually started, you know, partnering with IT and the D to do a social meetup. Yeah. So it's in Ann Arbor. It's at our office. We have different speakers every single month. We're doing something a little bit different. It used to be at 6 o'clock, the third Thursday of every month. It turns out that kind of conflicts with something else. So
who knew?
Yeah, we moved that around. So we're doing some daytime ones.
Because we've never done third Thursday. Yeah. Ever. Yeah. Never. Ever.
Yeah, they got a new marketing guy over there who's pretty good, and he decided to move that around.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I like him a little bit.
Yeah. So we started doing so we do one a quarter that's at 6 o'clock, one and a quarter that's at 3 o'clock, and then we also do the social where we team with IT and the D there in Ann Arbor.
First Tuesday. Next one you'll be doing with us is June 1st. June something. So. Second.
Set the pretzel bell. I don't know when it is, but
first Tuesday of June at the pretzel bell.
There you go.
But it's pretty cool. You get to, especially being in Ann Arbor, you get a whole collection of different types of people. So you get some students, you get people that are at different startups, you get established companies, and the speakers that come in, we do a pretty good job of making sure that you're getting some pretty fresh content and you're not getting sales pitches, stuff like that. We also record it, and we also do beer and pizza. So
it goes live.
Sounds
it's
awful.
It's a live feed as well, right, Matt?
Huh?
It's a live feed as well. You can watch it live. Not anymore. Okay.
Well, yeah, if you want the live show, if you want the beer and pizza, you got to show up live and get the beer and pizza.
But, come get the beer. It's fine.
Yeah.
So how do we find you guys online? Rightbrainnetworks.com, right?
Rightbrainnetworks.com.
And then, you guys are both on LinkedIn if you need to connect with you guys. Matt Thompson.
And that guy.
Don't even try and spell my name.
That's why I didn't go there.
It'll be in the show notes.
Go ahead and try it. It's fine. It's okay.
There's going to be like 87.
He's the only Derek in the company, so he's easy to find.
plus Derek, plus Right Brain. Life's good.
Yeah.
Boss is going to be mad at you.
But anyway, don't let your boss listen to this episode. Something happened. We lost the file.
If I had a dollar for every time I heard, don't let your boss listen to this episode. Yeah.
It's fine.
But anyway, I always appreciate having you guys out, Matt. Thank you for bringing Derek. Just kidding. This is we're gonna take a quick break. We're going to be back with Hillary H-Bomb talking about QA. This is the IT in the D show.
Hey, we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey guys, it's Timog, Bruce Leroy from The Last Dragon. You're listening to the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Hey, welcome back. This is segment 3, episode 292 of the IT in the D show, broadcasting live here in Studio One, Podcast Detroit, beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob the Sales Guy, Dave the Geek, Randy, I do the Twitters. Find everything online at ITinTheD.com because that is what we do. Don't forget the IoT Tech Connect Conference. Give it a Google. Check it out. Code ITinTheD for a coupon code for 36% off. And don't forget United.
Not 35.
Not 37.
Not 37. Oh. 36.
And don't forget United Shore is hiring IT like crazy. Just Google it, IT careers at United Shore.
Or
go to our go to the work tab. Either one, jobs tab, whatever.
Search Twitter for hashtag IT in the D 292.
292. But hey, this is a beautiful reunion. I kind of love this. The two things happened. Hillary is in the house. And not only did you have we gave you a nickname from that episode that you still use as your Twitter handle, but you taught Dave how to edit episodes.
Literally.
Yes. Hillary, aka
how to learn how to edit episodes.
Hillary, aka H Bomb, is in the house, who was a guest on episode 5, talking about QA. So, a little backstory: I kind of mocked it and I said, "Wow, this is gonna be a fun episode. We're talking about testing software." And I queued up my Crickets app, and you knew that this was coming, and so you had your apps queued up to get back at me, and it became a back and forth. And you dropped about. I'd say about 25 good F-bombs. And we're like, no. And we edited you down to about 3 minutes of but been a while and the waters have calmed. So we're like, Hillary, how would you like to come back and talk about QA again? And you're like,
I promised not to swear.
Not once.
But you still have – the beautiful thing is you held on – that nickname is still in your Twitter handle.
It is. And almost 6 years later.
And it should be.
People say, hey, H-bomb, how you doing?
But do they know why?
I have to tell them. Usually they're like, what is H-bomb? What does that mean? So I have to explain to them.
I said the word F on a podcast.
Like, were you dropped on Nagasaki? Like what?
Right. Pretty much, yes. I swore way too much. I was told that swearing's okay and then found out it's not okay.
No. I said FCC rules don't apply.
Right.
And you were like, challenge accepted.
Right. So
no, but it was my fault. I'll take all blame on that for putting the Crickets app up, because if I didn't do that, you would never have went off.
I probably would have anyway, because I had other nicknames, like Potty Mouth the Sailor was one of my nicknames.
Get them.
I learned from that, though, if I'm ever going to be on a podcast, verify with all of the hosts that it's okay to swear as much as you want to swear.
We said you could say poop.
Well, this time you said poop is okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Shit and poop is okay.
Are turds okay?
Yeah, that's fine too.
Poop is always okay.
Right, right.
That's not a swear.
No, but in all seriousness, appreciate you coming out late at night.
Poop is not always okay. Let's be clear.
No,
poop is normal. It's okay to poop.
It is, but it's not always okay.
Everybody poops.
Everybody poops.
But REM sung it best. It's the song, Everybody Poops.
Sometimes.
But no, in all seriousness, I know it's late.
Again, not all the
and
time.
And thank you for hanging out with us. I know you're jet lag. You were just a guest speaker in England, so now you can add international speaker to your Twitter handle.
So
talk to me about what'd you do?
So this wasn't my first time in England speaking at a conference. This is the second time, actually. And I spoke in Canada, which is officially...
That's not international. No, in Detroit, that's not
Okay. So
it's attached. We own it.
But speaking in England is international.
Yes,
you would grant me.
Yes.
That. Okay. So September, I spoke at a conference in Manchester, England, and Last week, I spoke at a conference in Brighton, England. So this is all on software testing.
Not by Ann Arbor.
Not by Ann Arbor.
Okay, just checking.
Brighton, England.
Oh, okay. Just making sure.
7-hour plane ride is not to Ann Arbor. Oh, boy.
Right.
Yeah.
As opposed to going across 96, which is also 7 hours.
Right.
If a semi flips over on 96, it's 7 hours.
Yeah. For the record, Brighton is not Ann Arbor.
No, it's not.
It's close enough.
So what conference was this?
So this was Test Bash, run by the Ministry of Testing,
okay,
which are based in the United Kingdom. They are. I do have a tattoo of their logo. I'm a big fan of them. Ooh. As a
like legit tattoo that was not
monk
a
robes? Wow. Like the Ministry tattoo of Testing. There should be monk robes.
What? Are they an actual ministry or are they just using the name?
It's so they're like in the UK where Ministry of whatever is a thing.
Yeah, Ministry of House, like those are the techno CDs I grew up on.
Is that a government?
It's not a government thing. It's like a spoof on a government thing. But they're like the best software testing community I've ever found.
The weird
one.
So what'd you speak on?
Did they have a funny walk?
No.
That is different.
Not the Ministry of Silly Walks.
No. That's the Monty Python reference to the tattoo that I have on.
No, that's a Chinese restaurant, thing. Silly Walks.
Sorry. It's a different.
Oh, sorry. Just. So trying to get on the same page here.
As opposed to the other Chinese restaurant, which is Walk This Way.
Right.
Different
right.
Yeah. Town.
spoke at Test Bash Essentials, which is geared towards newer software testers. And I spoke about the dev tools in Chrome and demonstrated a couple of the cool features of it.
Like what?
So I geared it instead of like, here's Chrome DevTools, and here's how you do this, and here's how you do that. I geared it as like a spy kind of thing, like detective kind of thing. So there was a case of the missing whatever. It was,
that's cool, man.
I'm in San Diego.
Just that is
to,
cool.
To make me not bored with my own presentation. So using the Elements tab to find like how to find elements on the page and looking at event listeners for those elements, using the console to see JavaScript errors, network tab, to look at the, you know, the requests and responses and whatever, like applications tab to clear your cookies and cache and all kinds of stuff.
Local data.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool. That's gamification of testing. That's really, really neat.
I don't know about gamification, but.
I mean, kind of Carmen Sandiego did, right?
I'm just making it fun.
I'm trying to. Trying to give this
like Bob thinks it's
trying
boring.
To talk you up.
No, because here's the thing, like for some people looking at code is brilliant and their world opens up, and some people like me, and I tried to push this on my daughter and she basically came out, she's 14. I made her take coding because I'm like, hey, girls in IT, I want you to at least dip your toes in. She's like, me and Python aren't good friends. I don't see it. And there's just some people in the world that don't see it. You know what I mean? And I obviously, you know, I've looked at Cisco CLIs and I don't get that. You know what I mean? And I grew up on a terminal for crying out loud. So, I mean, that's, you know, it's all good.
It's if like you didn't have JavaScript, people. Like I'm super good with like C#, but JavaScript, for some reason, my brain doesn't.
It hurts.
It doesn't compute.
But I mean, hey, you know why Java developers wear glasses?
JavaScript.
Because they can't C#.
Do you need the?
I'll show myself out. That's fine.
Thank you.
Honestly, how long you been? Like, how long have you been doing QA now?
12 years.
Okay, so now, like, every day is amazing because you're like solving puzzles. I mean, I guess walk me through.
Yeah, so I'm more of a software engineer and test kind of role right now. So I do write code pretty much every day. I write test automation every day, but I'm also doing that manual testing, exploratory testing. Kind of figuring out what could be wrong in this new feature or whatever. It's puzzles like every day. I play puzzle games on my phone like constantly.
We all do, yeah.
Yeah, it's do you, like.
Do we?
I do.
I don't.
Do you ever do manual testing?
I do manual testing.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No. So that's the thing.
She has.
If it's boring, you're doing it wrong. So if it's boring, that means it could be automated.
Axiom of life.
Seriously. Correct. But for software testing, if it's something that is repeatable, automate it. And that's Yeah. Something that I have the power to do as someone that can code. I can write the test automation to do that boring shit over and over and over again. And then I do the exciting kind of cognitive work or whatever of manual testing. That's not just like clicking the button. Do I fill in this form? Clicking this button, does it work? Automate that. Click. If it's something like what happens when some crazy shit happens, then that's something that I can do manually.
You kind of have to manual test to be able to figure out what you're doing in the first place, right? Like you're writing Selenium tests to be able to click a button. You got to know where the button is, right? So like,
yeah, but you don't have to actually
on manual testing to be able to figure out what you got to do to actually automate it.
There is a misconception that QA is boring, manual testing is boring, because a lot of people see it as just clicking the buttons.
You're right.
And that is what you automate, and you do kind of the fun exploratory puzzle solving stuff.
You have to figure out what you have to do to be able to automate it. Like we go through setting up application servers manually, because you know what? If we do it manually, we understand what we have to do it in an automated fashion 1,000 times quicker. If we just sit there and try and automate it the whole time, we're like, where's that thing? And we don't know where it's at.
There's stuff that you also can't automate. So no matter how many times I do a certain thing, some things you can't automate.
I agree.
Because a human is going to see something differently than something that you, like a program or whatever. Because you can program it to see a certain thing and all your tests can pass, but your software could still be shit because it's missing things that you didn't program it to see.
I agree. You're on top of your thing. I like it.
Which matters when you're dealing with, say, I don't know, mortgage applications.
Something like that. Yeah.
Something
you know
like
what?
That, yeah.
Yeah.
Which I don't deal with.
I prefer mortgage not to be.
But it's, yeah.
But yeah, like with any application, it's important to kind of see those. Even like, so the applications that I work on are all internal software engineers use. But it's still important because it's time out of their day if stuff doesn't work.
But I mean, the beautiful thing is you'll never be out of a job because software applications are always doing updates.
There's always going to be bugs. Yes.
Yeah. And there are always going to be bugs.
Always going
to
be bugs.
They say the cloud is versionless.
No, dude, it brings me back to, again, I've said it a million times on this show, Audi, hey, our car makes 4,000 decisions a second. Great. I will never buy an Audi. Why? Because I know software developers.
Right.
Pretty much every car in about 3 years is going to be that. It's yeah.
I don't want a self-driving car because I've worked in software too long to know like all of the terrible
things. Should
we want
a self-driving mortgage?
It's not really self-driving.
Wait, what?
I'm sorry.
No, you even lost me on that one.
We're not talking about
mortgage. All right. Derek's gone. Derek should go home.
Okay.
Stopped it. All
That's
right.
Where the crickets should come in.
I don't have the app queued up. I thought it was going to be like.
All right, Hillary. So, are you guys, what sort of technologies are you guys using? Are you using Selenium? You are in some sort of framework, right? You threw shade on C#, right?
So no, I didn't throw shade.
No.
No shade on C#, because that is my homeboy language.
No, so like honestly, like what should companies be aware of when they're not doing the kind of testing that you do? That's
a good question.
Well, I mean, they should be aware of testing in general because a lot of people think, oh, well, QA doesn't need to happen. Like QA is expendable or QA is a bottleneck. That's just –
because if we can't even get the pre-prod environment to match, screw QA.
Oh, hold on. You stole my thunder, bud.
Right. So just, you know – As a tester, as a QA, as like my job is not to say, okay, this is, you know, stamp, this is good to go. I'm not the gatekeeper.
No.
Are you the keymaster?
I'm not the keymaster or the gatekeeper.
Your name's not Dana, is it?
My name is not Dana.
Only Zool.
Only Zool. however... so basically what a tester should be doing is providing information. So if you are asking someone to just, you know, go in a sprint behind and test, that's not providing you the right information in the right time. It's that whole feedback cycle So, like, as in Agile, for instance, like in Waterfall, sure, you test like 6 months after the code is written.
I feel like 287 episodes later, like, she has grown up so much and we're still
childs.
The same 11-year-old asshole that we've always been.
Childs?
Children.
I agree. I've never met her before.
I feel like I have learned and grown so much since episode 5 because I mean, I have I've spoken at conferences, I've gotten some promotions, I'm not like the same old quality engineer that I was.
No, and I actually have respect for what you do. See how we grow?
No, because Bob's actually engaged.
I know. Like, not just looking at
he never grown. I'm not Dave. In a
different way. Hasn't downloaded the Crickets app again.
No, but here's the thing, like, we're as users, we're very fickle. Just like I'm talking in anything like with Netflix. If there's glitch or if there's broke, we go, and then we don't like. And then, you know, you stop the things from being the broke and you make it so we like. No, you know what I mean? Like,
spoken like a true
That was so eloquent, Bob. That was
I'm being funny. But no, like the company that I'm with now has the biggest install of Salesforce. We're the most – the biggest company to utilize all the features of Salesforce, and it's broke. We've figured out how to break it in 100 different ways, and it's an awful experience, and we all hate it, and everyone knows it internal, and we don't want any part of it. And as a sales guy, that's your Bible, right? Mm. So that it's become bad. Right, and I'm not saying a QA person's the default.
No,
we just broke the application.
So even so, like a lot of the times when you see something that's like broken, you're like, oh, you know, QA should have caught this. Well, QA probably caught that and provided the information, and sales or management or whatever was like, go ahead with it anyway.
Get them.
Users won't do that.
Get them.
Look, you're right. You're absolutely right. Because you know what? That
I
is.
I know.
Oh, wow. I wish we had the video on right now because the whole wrist roll. I know.
I know.
We don't have the video on? Oh.
I'm sorry, the wrist roll. Bro. Second only to the eye roll. Let's be clear.
It's very. No, I think you heard it here first. It's not. If the software fails. It's not QA's fault. It's because sales said to push it quicker. You heard it here first.
We've never done that. Sales promises.
If I had a dollar for every time that freaking happened,
sales is the problem all night. Every engineering.
I will leave the encoders open until you high five me.
Okay.
Static for 25 hours straight.
It'll happen. I
didn't know.
Look, you're right. Like, users are always going to break stuff. If you're able to tell us.
It's broken. Always fine until the goddamn users come in.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, then you get people that are like, oh, the users will test it. We don't need QA. It's like, do you want to lose sales?
The users don't understand the model.
No, but if you look at like an Android phone and if I have an app crash and it says send a report, right? No one fills that out. They just never use it again. It's that simple. Unless you're forced to use it, I'm like, screw this stupid app.
Yeah.
They're dead to me.
You lose market share. You lose users, and you have people going, oh, man, did you see that app? That was terrible.
And like, you have no idea why I deleted it.
Yep.
This is exactly what I'm talking about with testing before you go into the mainline branch and before you get the QA. Like, all of your QA tests that you have automated need to be ran before anything's merged into the develop branch or anything. Whatever somebody's mainline branch is, QA, test, dev, blah, 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 that all of the tests that you guys write need to be ran before it gets there.
All of that, the manual tests and the automated tests. So we have it in like our CI/CD pipeline or whatever.
Manual tests, maybe not, right?
No. So I work directly with my software developers to test every feature that they're working on before it goes into
the
test environment. When it's in dev, when it's on their local machines,
have a dev environment
I pull their stuff down locally. No. I pull their stuff down locally and run it. So I can test it there.
And you go, no, actually, it does not work in local.
No.
Like, it does not work on my machine. I have that shirt. I have a shirt that says it doesn't work on my
everything
machine.
Everything needs to be ran in a...
Phenomenal. That's
like,
yes.
All of your...
Ministry of Testing sells those shirts. Just so you know.
Anything that you guys have automated should be ran before you even touch it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I agree. Like, that needs to happen.
No, so Hillary, like, coming from someone that doesn't know dev, right, more, you know, obviously being sales. So how many QAs to devs in a like, a perfect environment? I'm just curious.
It really depends. So for my team right now, I have 8 devs and me. Like, I'm the only QA. But that is because I'm not the only one that's writing tests. I'm not the only one that's actually doing the testing, because testing should be the whole team.
Sure.
It's not like no testing happens until Hillary touches it. It's, you know, we're all kind of responsible for it. Generally, it's, you know, kind of a smaller ratio.
I don't know if it's like 1 to 4, 1 to 10.
1 to 4, 1 to 5.
Okay.
And 1 to 8.
In a perfect environment.
In a perfect environment. Yeah. Sure. So because I'm on a couple of different projects. So I have some different focuses. I have the kind of context shifting, switching kind of issues sometimes. But like 1 to 4 to 5, maybe.
Got it. No, I was just, like I said, I was just curious. So obviously you're part of a team then, right?
Yes. Yeah, so, we're all it's a cross-functional team.
Okay.
So are you agile development, waterfall, V?
Agile, safe.
Everybody's agile nowadays.
Agile.
No, they're not. They say that, but they just
– Everybody's agile nowadays.
No.
Don't go chasing waterfalls, Randy.
People say they're agile, but they're
still waterfall. Stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to.
Right. That's right. I agree with you.
We should all sing that song whenever someone says they're agile and they're actually waterfall.
People say they're agile, but they're just a bunch of mini waterfalls. Or
It's or water fragile is what I like to call it.
water fragile. I like that. Water fragile.
That's what it is. It's like it's 2 week long waterfall because you're still pushing QA to the end. You're still not giving. Doing any, huh?
Water fragile. Do you have a talk on that?
What about rapid prototyping?
You should go.
What about it?
Can you QA it while you're doing it?
Well, yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know.
You
tell
can
me about
QA
it.
Anything.
Ooh. I have another
question. You can QA everything.
What about test driven development?
Do your teams do that?
Yes. Get it.
You can do test driven. Do you know what test driven development is and how that involves?
You write your test before you develop anything.
What about SD-WAN? That's what I like.
That's not what I was calling to you for.
That's what I like.
What I really want to understand is about 5G. How does 5G kind of fold into this whole
thing? It shakes your body well.
Because if I'm Terry Bean and my phone says 5GE, is that.
It's cancer.
Y'all threw shade on Christmas.
What?
That's going to be the title of this episode.
Y'all threw shit on Christmas.
We're going to wrap things up.
I don't make that a joke. That's going to happen.
We're going to wrap up this episode 292. Y'all threw shade on Christmas. This is it for the IT The D Show. Hillary, if you want to find you on Twitter or where you want to find
GeekLady, G33K Lady. I also want to plug my meetup group.
Yeah, please do.
Motor City Software Testers at Detroit Testers on Twitter. Our next meetup is on the 17th on TDD, in fact. Find us on Meetup, Motor City Software Testers.
I did research.
Uh-huh.
Get him, Hillary.
Hey, honestly, it was great having you again, and we welcome you back anytime. You did not swear once.
I said shit a couple
that's
of times.
That's fine.
But
no, we told you that's fine. F-bombs. That's not swearing. You called the shit poop, and that's fine. We're all right, thanks again for hanging out. We're going to wrap things up with this episode 292, Y'all Threw Shade on Christmas. I'd like to thank Derek and Matt from Right Brain Networks, to Hillary, the H-Bomb, Geek Lady at Twitter. I'd also like to thank a couple of our sponsors, IoT Tech Connect Conference, and also United Shore. Check them out online. On behalf of Bob, Dave, and Randy, do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. See you next week. Drive careful. Beat it.
Good luck with that, folks.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Bonan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash. You've saved your ass. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name? Murphy.
Make the run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the can.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the truth. Owns. 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 Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy. Shut up, Mimsy. Shut up, Mimsy.
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me. I love this city.
I was banging on the wang.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.